Hi, good afternoon. This is Matt Corcoran with your Life Science Rush Hour daily podcast. Hope everyone's having a great day. Quick update here on what's going on in the world of life science and risk management. From a market standpoint, the IBB and XBI were both relatively flat today, but on the plus side, always good news. Probably the big news of the day, Right to Try Again, was in fact finalized and approved last night. Now it's just going to the president's desk for final approval. I've seen some mixed reactions on it. I think from a patient-centric standpoint, people are pretty happy about it. From a company-centric standpoint, we're seeing more of a mixed bag there. How it really changes the dynamics of the marketplace and access to these clinical, to these experimental drugs, is probably going to be minimal. From what I understand, but time will tell. In drug development, Merck's Keytruda again crushed their clinical results. They're just plowing ahead with that. What's interesting is how it is affecting the landscape for other companies. I saw that Lilly actually lowered their offer for Amro by, I think, almost $7 a share. They did find some middle ground, but it certainly changed how Lilly looked at that acquisition because of what Keytruda has done. I think it went from 55 down to 48, finally closing at about $50 a share. So, that's 10% there reduction in price because of what another company has done. Probably the most interesting news or entertaining news would be Rockwell Medical, kind of almost a soap opera or comedy show, if you will. Last night, their board met, convened, and fired their CEO. This morning, an 8K is filed by the CEO saying that is, in fact, false. It was co-signed by the CFO. Short time later, another 8K was filed that said, hey, no, these guys are fired. Not only is the CEO fired, but the CFO is fired. A couple hours later, another release that says, hey, none of these guys are fired. They're going to do an investigation. So I'd love to know if anybody knows exactly what's going on there. It doesn't sound like anybody within the company does, but hopefully it all turns out well for them. Finally, from an insurance-related standpoint, I was speaking with a client today. They do a clinical stage client, clinical trials. So an issue that I do see come up quite a bit with clients is temperature-controlled or temperature-sensitive product. And for this kind of example, we're going to use at a facility. They were looking to buy some additional equipment to house their product. The question came up is, well, how much value is that worth? And what happens if they had two freezers, they were going to buy a third freezer? What happens if that freezer, if the electric goes out, what will happen to your product? How much value will you lose? And time. And that's something that we see a lot of times, very important for life science companies, is spoilage. It can be called a couple different things, and it can lead to other things such as contamination and whatnot. But I'm going to focus on spoilage here. Is the insurance policy should cover your product if there's a peril that knocks power out. So let's say lightning strikes a building, there's a fire, and your product is spoiled because the temperature change affected it, and you can no longer use it. What we typically see is that, or sometimes see, I should say, that the limit isn't adequate for the exposure. Most companies that are playing in this space, insurers that is, can provide up to $250,000 limit, just kind of standard. Now, some won't. They'll do 100, they'll do 50, 25, but most have the ability to do 250 with no real additional information needed from a client. Once you get above 250 clients, they're going to require more information. Hey, what's in place? What are the safeguards? What happens if something goes down? Do you have backup? backup generator, things like that nature. Is there an emergency person call? So those are all things that are asked. So a little bit more underwriting information is needed. But, for a lot of our clients, 250 is enough that are in the clinical stage, depending on the level and, how many facilities they're using. But certainly something I recommend the clients take a deep dive into, making sure they have the correct limits there. Because the last thing you want to do is be underinsured. I did have a client who had a loss. They were a diagnostic company. It was somewhat temperature sensitive. And not only did the insurance respond, there's some contamination issues, which we can talk about at a different point. But so they even got some additional limit because the policy was structured in the correct way and with the correct limits. Always something I'm happy to talk to people about. You can reach me at matt.corcoran, matt.corcoran, at Alliant, Alliant.com. You can follow me on my blog, mattcork.com, mattcorc.com. And you can also find my contact information there, of course. So thanks for listening, y'all, and I hope you have a great night. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.